Hello everyone, welcome to Ugly Betty. My name is
My name is George. And for some reason, Stephen is having an uncontrollable laughing fit. Got the massive case of church giggles over here.
Leave me alone.
Where it's like, no matter what you do, you can't stop laughing. You can think of the unfunniest things, and it just doesn't work.
Refrigerator dryers.
You could just say, like, avalanches, earthquakes. Nothing stops you from laughing.
Hopefully people don't laugh at avalanches and earthquakes.
Well, that's why you think of the most unfunny things. That's why you're like, avalanches, earthquakes. You're doing everything to think
about. Rhubarb pie.
Rhubarb pie. Anything you don't like or anything that's bad, think about it and try not to laugh. I've never tried rhubarb pie, actually, to be honest.
No, never.
What is it exactly?
Rhubarb is it's a fruit.
Okay.
And it's very, very tart. Mm. And may make it. I've had rhubarb, sweetened rhubarb before, like in a pie. It's like a tarty type pie.
So it's like a lemon pie.
No. It's not like I'll buy you a slice.
Great.
I'll put that on my to-do list.
Great.
Buy you a slice of rhubarb pie and just sit there and watch you say, so.
Just to try it at least once.
Yes. And then if you don't like it, I'll just throw it and give it to Jeff. Say, Jeff, take care of this.
Good idea.
But we are here not to talk about rhubarb pie and my secret recipe for it. I don't have a recipe. I just generally buy it. I generally don't buy it because I'm not. Like rhubarb pie that much, but we are here to talk about Ugly Betty.
That mic still pick us up in that position? Did we record the last episode like that too?
No, it recorded.
No, was the mic there too?
No, I think I knocked it.
Okay.
But we are here to talk
just
about.
Just making sure the mic's set up. Stand by, everybody. All right.
And we are here to talk about season 3, episode 17. Sugar Daddy.
Yes. I had a guess for why it was going to be called that.
There was multiple reasons why it's called Sugar Daddy.
Well, the one guess I had was, I thought in this episode, I thought Wilhelmina was going to call you-know-who to get bailout money.
D-A-D-D-Y.
I thought that's why it was called that. I thought Wilhelmina, I forgot how it got resolved because I did watch this last time 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot how it got resolved. So I took a guess watching the episode going, let me guess. Wilhelmina calls up her father and that's who bails out the magazine.
And there's three different sugar I want to mention the multiple sugar daddies in this episode that they're called sugar daddy. The government.
Yep.
Matt.
Yep.
Ignacio.
Yeah.
And you could say at the end of the episode, Daniel.
Yep.
So let's talk about let's talk about the thing that we find out in the beginning of the episode. The Suarez family is going to lose their home.
Yep. Unless they come up with $10,000.
Yes.
To buy it.
And by the end of the month, and like, how can they find? Oh my gosh!
Now this episode really focuses on the Suarez family because I thought this was a great storyline for Ignacio.
Yes, it shows all his acting chops and before we get to the main way they try to get the money, I want to talk about everybody in the Suarez family way they try to raise money. Betty goes try to get the security deposit. From Mark and Amanda, and they say no.
My favorite one.
But we're gonna get there. Hilda tried to upcharge her.
Check up the prices. I couldn't get over that. $200. If you were Kirsten Dunst, and this was on Madison Avenue, was I think the street she referenced, and you were getting your hair cut at a salon in Madison Avenue, that would be the price.
Mm.
And she was like, well, this is in Madison Avenue. And I love how she keeps trying to haggle it down as the montage continues.
And then
she tries to go to 50.
And then the most successful person so far is Justin
singing on the street.
Cabaret, money makes the world go round. And I do want to, I'm still putting out there, I'm going to play the MC one day. But that was amazing. And then when Hilda said, why did you do that? You skipped school to do that? It's like, I made $250. Like, ooh, congratulations. Good job.
That was my favorite one out of everybody at the montage was Hilda trying to haggle the price. See what she could get away with. Mm-hmm. Started out high with $200 and then went down.
And then the main way they're trying to get money is Ignacio enters himself into a cooking competition. Well, you know that cooking competition? You know what it reminds... Do you watch Food Network a lot?
No.
Did you? Do you watch Food Network?
No. I'm sure my roommate does, but not... But he watches more cooking videos on YouTube than Food Network.
Well, there's this... You know who Bobby Flay is?
Yes, that I do know.
He had a show...
His ex-wife, I don't know if they're still married, but used to be on Law & Order. SVU.
Mm.
One with the glasses.
Oh, I had to see her face. But yeah, he had a cooking competition on Food Network called Beat Bobby Flay, which basically was similar. Like he goes to different people to try to beat them with their signature recipe, and then it just reminded me a lot about Beat Bobby Flay.
She was Alexandra in Law & Order SVU. She had glasses.
SVU. I haven't seen SVU in a while.
Gotcha. They divorced, but that's who used to be married to Bobby.
But yeah.
That was a great storyline for Ignacio in this episode. And one of the things that I personally loved about this episode was I felt like the tables had turned.
Because
now instead of Betty having to step up and save the day at Mode... Now she has to try to step up and save the day for her family because of what happened to Ignacio during the cooking competition.
Yeah, and then, who's that actor who plays the chef? He looks so familiar. I see him in a lot of stuff.
1 second. But yes, I love how the tables turned and Betty had to step up. So while we're looking for that information, Stephen, what else did you want to discuss?
Yeah, I want to talk about how...
As I look it up.
And I want to talk about another sugar daddy. And then Matt finally started paying for stuff. And then a random check for $10,000 shows up for Betty. And she first thinks it's Daniel. And Daniel says, no, it's not me. And then she finds out it's Matt.
He's done quite a few things. He's obviously a New York-based actor because he's done 97 episodes of Blue Bloods in a recurring role. So he obviously, and that shoots in New York.
Blue Blood is still running, right?
Yeah. It's in its 12th year, I believe.
Tom Selleck is getting paid.
Well, yes. And everybody loves Magnum P.I., so.
You know they did a crossover with Murder, She Wrote? I remember that episode.
Like his biggest thing, but oh, he did Joe Dirt. He did C Spot Run. I'm going back to like 2000s credits, 90s credits, Detroit Rock City, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, character actors worked all the time. Ooh, he was an extra in Casino.
I never heard of that movie before. What is Casino about?
The movie where Sharon Stone had to fight to prove it.
She got nominated for Casino, yeah?
Martin Scorsese didn't want her. Thought she couldn't do it because she was too pretty, so she flew to New York and auditioned directly for him to prove it that she had the acting chops to do it. So,
and that's a lesson for all you actors out there: if you want something bad enough, prove it.
Yes, and Sharon Stone had no problem flying to New York to audition for Martin Scorsese to nab that role because he thought she wasn't right for it. Goes to show you, if you think you can do something, prove it.
That was us high-fiving each other, but safely because of, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, and yeah, that's what I... I agree. Like, if... That's what we all have to do. We have to prove, like, if you think you can't carry something, try to carry a film. Yeah. Try to carry a TV show. Start small, make a short film. do a one-man show like a certain person I know has done twice with huge success, gesturing this way.
And I'm getting ready to retitle it and premiere it again in 2022.
And then he's going to have some direct competition next year, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's not competition because...
It's two different shows. Still an opportunity to lift each other up and cross-promote.
Yeah, you know I will. You know I always like supporting you.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Good opportunity to cross-promote.
I'll see you. And you know, what's it called? The register it up. So open today. Like,
yeah.
Put your project
on. It's going to be a tour. I'm going to be doing London. I'm going to be doing Edinburgh. I'm going to be doing Solo Fest in January at the Whitefire in Sherman Oaks. I'm probably going to do Hollywood Fringe again.
How much is do it at Edinburgh?
I'm still getting those numbers, but Free Fringe will be a lot cheaper than doing it the traditional way. Mm-hmm. The traditional way with one of the big four venues at Edinburgh gets very expensive. So I'm going to go the Free Fringe route. That way it's much cheaper.
That's good. And I'm premiering, I don't know how it's going to come together, but I'm putting my one-man show titled En Route at the Hollywood Friends Festival in 2022, which will be in June. I thought they were going to move it, keep it in August, but, you know, they moved it back to June this year.
Well, you know. It was interesting doing it in August. I will say it was certainly interesting, but I am excited because, you know, all the other fringes I ever did were all in June, and that's usually when it is. So.
Yeah, and
plus that I wouldn't want to do it in August because then I wouldn't be available for Edinburgh, which is in August.
Mm.
So now this year I'm going to get to do both in the same summer, whereas usually I did them a summer apart because when I did Magic 8-Ball. I did that one in the 2017 Hollywood Fringe, and I did that in the 2018 Edinburgh, so they were a summer apart. This time, I'm going to be doing them both in the same summer.
Remind me to ask you to put me in your suitcase so you can take me to Edinburgh.
Oh, it's so beautiful. That's why I wanted to go again. I went once, and it was wonderful, but then the last couple of years, I was like, ah, I got to go at least one more time.
Didn't Annie, she went to Edinburgh the same time you went to it.
She did it actually one summer prior than I did. We were a year apart. She went in 2017 to Edinburgh. I went in 2018. So we went one year apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm nervous to do a one-man show. I haven't even started memorizing. Well, even though I wrote it, I haven't even started memorizing yet. And I see, because I still try to get all the, you know, director details and all that stuff, and all that details to which I want
to make sure you carve out time. And what I say to people is, if it's overwhelming for you to memorize all at once, divide it into sections, break it up into pieces. Mm-hmm. That would be the advice I would give to anybody doing a solo show when you need to start practicing by yourself and memorizing lines. Divide it up into sections.
You know, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out to lunch to pick your brain about everything.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know that's going to be a very major
thing.
And
this month we still have to do our traditional Sabrina Christmas episode.
Yay! I'm so excited. For all you listeners, we have a
yearly tradition.
We have a yearly tradition. Every October, we watch the Halloween episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And in December, we watch all the Christmas episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And it's like...
And all of those, all the Christmas ones, are on one DVD all together. So that makes it really easy to watch.
I'm so happy. But speaking of corporate, the biggest corporation, the government.
Oof. And in this episode, we learn all about politics. Now, not so much with the right versus left in this. That's what I actually like about these episodes, is that they're political, but they're not too political.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, you really learn about government in terms of all the hoops one has to go through to try to get some of that federal money. Now, they come up with a brilliant idea. However, here's the only problem. You have the two worst people to try to execute it. Oh my God, Wilhelmina and Daniel getting on a bus.
I was like,
Do I look like I carry quarters?
Can you bring a 50? And like, I have had a Metro card and had to pay the money to, and I know how that feels.
I love that they put two rich people.
You see, we traveled here on the bus.
Just like fish out of water. I mean, it was like, oh my God. The rich trying to blend in with the working class citizens of New York City.
I mean, I know there's a lot of well-known people.
Now, obviously, what they were doing was wrong. They were trying to, you know, cheat the government system, even though this was a magazine that took no government funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to say, well, we don't usually take government funds, but hey, if you're going to be bailing out people,
because they were And I want to talk about that. Let's.
They were. I mean, look, it wasn't a bad idea, but it's just it was horribly executed. And then, really, when you do get down to the core of it, even though it's a brilliant idea, it's still wrong because
No. They were trying to take the money. There was a bailout for magazine and publishing, and they went to represent Mead, yeah. And they did say your flagship publication is a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
And they argue like. Fashion and pull is one of them.
Vanessa Williams, gotta say, Wilhelmino is doing a great job pulling out all those points about it being art and expression and good for the economy.
Yeah, and that's most of the economy, like Broadway and fashion, mm-hmm. construction, basically it's like the cornerstones of
New York City economy.
And she was right.
Yeah. She was spot on. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't government money that they took in the first place.
Let's talk, like, everybody was looking for a bailout back then.
Yes.
And
as Hillary Clinton, wish she was our 45, as Hillary Clinton said very eloquently in all the presidential debates against you-know-who, this was the worst economic crash since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
2008, so.
And Obama had to deal with that.
Yeah, Obama inherited the mess.
And
we were bankrupt as a country. We were bankrupt.
And that's something that I feel like, obviously they were never going to give him credit for.
Right.
He inherited.
The worst economic crash since the Great Depression.
And he inherited a war.
Two wars.
He inherited two wars.
Three wars. There was a third war, I think. There was the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. There was a war in Afghanistan, and I forget what it was, but there was some third war that was going on. Mm-hmm. So there was three wars and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
Yeah. And then look at
12 years later, what, you know, what Biden had to inherit with a global pandemic happened, you know.
He inherited a global pandemic.
Yep.
Whatever, all the stuff that happened, I guess, and which that's another topic.
Our country at its all-time high in terms of division.
Yes.
With half the country sadly not believing that he was the rightfully elected leader, so.
And that's another.
But that's another story. But going back to this.
That's a story that stuff that involves wine.
Yes. But I did like how this episode showed you all the hoops that people have to go through to get some of that federal money.
Mm-hmm. They almost got it too. But what was on the cover of a magazine? Them drinking.
Yep.
Wine, and he said, oh, that's a $400 bottle of wine. They're like, it's the most decent drink in the place. He's like, shut up.
Yeah.
And he's like, he looks like you two were laughing because we were laughing at a waiter fault. Shut up. But you know what happened at that? They were drinking because they were dealing with Wilhelmina still getting over Connor. Daniel dealing with the news with Molly.
Well, that's what I actually like about their relationship and the evolution of their relationship in the season. Because now that Alexis is gone... and Wilhelmina owns Alexis's shares, mm-hmm. now they basically have to be like the brother and sister now.
Mm-hmm. And they always acted like brothers and sisters in some respect.
Now you really get to see it, though, because Alexis is gone. And I will say, another thing I love about this is the fabulous Judith Light.
Mm-hmm.
I love how her and her Claire and Wilhelmina have to be a little more respectful now.
Mm-hmm.
They have to at least be a little more civil.
Mm-hmm.
But Claire still gets her punches in. Like, you look like a rich bitch.
Mm-hmm.
See, they do have to be a little more civil now because she does own half the company. But, you know, she could still.
Hello, Judith Light. Me too. Hail Judith Light.
Yeah.
And didn't she do amazing work in impeachment?
Yes. And I have to say, I do love that Betty volunteers to wear black in this episode.
And that outfit! It was like, I love how just said, it was so close. And then when she turned around, that green and blue, it's like, no! No! But she gets better in fashion.
Yeah. I just admire how she's like, look, we're on the merge of everybody losing their jobs. Black seemed appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Mode's not going to be as colorful.
It's basically the first episode of season 3, Wilhelmina all black.
And I have to say, Matt really did do a sweet gesture in this episode. That was so sweet, but I admire Betty for being like, I'm not your charity.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I would like to talk about something when it comes to this. And I'm going to get a little vulnerable. And you know how I don't like getting vulnerable with anybody. Well, you know, with my friends. But, you know, that's beside the point. You know how I've been going through financial rough times.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very like Betty. There was a lot of people who wants to help me and all that stuff. And I feel, for me, because I'm a person who likes to help other people, and it makes me feel, I'm not your charity. I'm supposed to be helping you. Before this, like, when I had money, when I was, like, helping people, like, I got this for you. I'll get it. And, like, it's just, like, when you're on the other side, And you still have those high moral values. Like, no, I don't. It just feels awkward, you know. When you're always that helper and you're the one who needs to be helped, it's hard.
Yeah.
And every time you have help, I thank you. I have, like, you know, it's very weird. I am learning to say yes to help,
mm-hmm.
and I'm learning to ask for help,
mm-hmm.
and that's very hard for me because I'm a stubborn. I don't know if you know that. I'm a very stubborn person. I'm glad you're not saying anything about me.
Yes, very much so. But we're all stubborn.
And it's just, you know, there's like a lot, and I learned there's a lot of people who care about me. And, you know, it just makes me feel like there's people who I can reach out for, like, emotional support. And, you know, when I am struggling, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why, when I got my own vacation, mini vacation, George gave me a small mini vacation, something that I would never get myself.
My roommate and I, for all of our listeners listening, my roommate and I were going out of town for a couple of days. I was going to be gone for more than a week. Jeff was going to be gone. But we needed somebody to watch the cat, and the problem was Jeff couldn't take the cat with him to Arizona because their parents have a cat, and our cat does not play well with other cats.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate's cat, I should say, because it's his cat, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were trying to find somebody who could possibly come and stay at the house, collect our mail, feed the cat, and just, you know, watch out for things while we were gone. And, you know, Steven immediately stepped up to the plate and came through. Somebody who my roommate completely trusted, and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gave Steven an opportunity to, you know, experience a different LA.
Yeah, it's just me, just, I relaxed. I was very relaxed for that week. I told him here and there while he was on his own mini vacation, like, dude, I feel so relaxed.
Yeah.
It feels so good.
There's nothing like having your own place, I gotta say.
Mm. And that's where we started this conversation.
It's all good.
You know what I told you earlier.
Yes, I've been there before where I've had to rent rooms in other people's houses or other people's apartments. I can speak from personal experience. It's not always fun because you feel like the place isn't truly your home.
But
once you graduate to it, you'll learn that there's nothing like it. And you'll eventually get there when the timing is right.
And speaking of timing is right, let's move back to Ignacio.
Well, after Ignacio had his back thrown out when he was trying to compete to win, Betty stepped in to try to save the day for the family and do the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he lost.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the challenge, so he wasn't going to get the $10,000. But then I love what Ignacio does at the end of the episode by calling the chef to re-challenge.
No, it wasn't a re-challenge. The chef loved the mole sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, like, oh, he didn't give this to me for free. It was $10,000, and yep, they started screaming because the problems got solved at the end of the episode.
Yep, because Ignacio sold the secret recipe. So, and is going to go and work for him.
Yeah, and he got a job out of it.
Yeah.
He bought his house.
Yep. Their home.
Their home. They had their home.
That's their home.
Yeah, and it was just great. But the sad part, another good part, Daniel decided, you know what, Molly, I want to be in this with you, thick and thin.
And Daniel got to step up and save the day at the end of the episode, just like how Ignacio saved the day by reaching out to the chef and not for a rematch, but just to say, hey, I have this secret sauce. I'll mm-hmm. sell it to you for $10,000,
mm-hmm.
and I'll happily come and work for you. And then, now you have Daniel stepping up and saying, okay, well, to keep this magazine and to keep this company afloat, I will liquidate my assets.
Mm-hmm.
I will sell houses. I will, and that should at least keep this place afloat for a couple of months. And I love that even Wilhelmina steps up and says, I might not have the resources that you do, but I will pitch in.
Yeah, and it shows, like, they both really care, and they're willing to fight for their jobs and the people who work for Mean Enterprises.
Yes. So you see the both of them step up, and Claire says, I'm proud of you, and your father would be proud of you, too.
Yes. And I know that, and I have a feeling that, you know, in the character of Bradford would be proud.
Yeah. You get to see Daniel really grow up this season.
Mm-hmm. And you see the arc that he has gone on since
being
the playboy who was handing his job to the person,
yep,
taking ownership of his job, ownership of the magazine.
Yeah.
it's a positive episode.
Yeah. Well, it's an episode about stepping up and doing the right thing and finding a solution that you can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I think Betty was just like, look, I'm not your charity. I don't want this.
Mm-hmm. I'm nobody's charity.
But then I love how at the end, Matt comes back and apologizes and says, I'm super into you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll say is, where I felt like the chemistry was lacking,
I think they have good chemistry.
I think this chemistry between the two of them, Matt and Betty, is fantastic. Okay. And I felt like it built up beautifully and organically.
Mm-hmm.
I like their chemistry. I feel like their chemistry is there.
And yeah, I think that's... Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about in this episode. I think we got through everything that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Yeah, I think it was a very solid episode.
We had a great two-parter. We had a little down there at the last one, but now we're back up.
And then we're full steam ahead. And we're almost at the end of the season 3.
And then the final season.
Oh.
And we definitely have some surprises in store for you listeners as a way to say thank you. So
yeah. I about one of the surprises.
Yeah.
But I don't know of all the surprises. I bet he has stuff planned that I don't even know about.
Yeah, so.
Really?
We'll see.
Oh.
Stranger things have happened.
Oh my gosh. now I need to, once we finish, stop recording, I have to grill him. So what do you know? Tell me, you know how I deal with surprises last time. I yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm excited for one of the surprises because I know you're working it out.
Yep. We're going to make it happen.
Well, we'll see. And I'm going to do research to help you see if I can find you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But is there any more surprises after that?
We'll see.
What do you mean? Know something? Or you're trying to get something?
Always be trying to get something.
But, or you have another we'll see that you already know that you won't tell me.
We're just going to find out.
Shut! you need to stop that! But without further ado, my name is Steven.
My name is George.
Bye!
Bye.
When you do that.
Meh.